On Sunday, the 1st of July, Labor's controversial carbon tax will come into effect. The Wire's Lauren Gillen found out just what this means.
Labor's carbon tax will take effect on Sunday, the 1st of July. The tax is a charge of $23 per tonne of emissions paid by Australia's top polluters. It aims to limit fossil fuel energy use and encourage investment in clean energy sources. In 2015, it's set to be replaced with a market-driven system known as an emissions trading scheme. I spoke to Professor Mike Sandiford, the director of Melbourne Energy Institute at Melbourne University, to find out how the carbon tax will work and if he thinks it will cut greenhouse gas emissions.
So the carbon tax is designed to put a price on carbon emissions from a variety of sources, the obvious one being electricity supply, which is largely coal-based. And that's designed, I guess, to put a whole of life cycle cost on all the impacts of our energy use, and in so doing make other less polluting energy sources more competitive.
And it is up for debate that the carbon tax, if it actually will lead to any significant reduction in greenhouse gas emissions. What's your opinion on that?
At the moment, most of the alternative forms of energy supply, such as renewables or nuclear, that have very low to zero emissions, are significantly more expensive than simply digging coal from the ground and burning it and not putting any price on the emissions. But if we went to that price, that would make the others competitively immediately, it would have quite a shock factor on the economy. So this is a transitional stage leading to a market trading scheme for factors in carbon emission.
He says the emission trading scheme due in 2015 will have a greater impact on greenhouse gas emissions.
The ETS is a better scheme because in a way lets the market decide what will be the cost solutions to getting to points where we have a low emissions technology base for particularly electricity generation, but other sources of emission in the economy as well.
Patrick Moriarty, adjunct senior research fellow at Monash University, says there is a risk that organisations will find ways of turning a profit from the ETS without actually reducing emissions.
It's happening already. As you know, there is a European emissions trading scheme, and already they've handed out tens of billions. It's not only firms, it's countries as well. For instance, a country might decide to put in a hydro dam in China with Three Gorges, but why not apply for an emissions trading scheme? That's what you can get is a huge payout for building a hydro dam you were planning to do anyhow. There are all these emissions reductions claimed, but of course the global scoreboard just shows the carbon dioxide parts per million are rising 2 per year and are now about 395.
Patrick Moriarty is critical of both the carbon tax and the ETS. He says that fighting greenhouse gas emissions requires social, not just technological changes. And you say that the carbon tax and the eventual ETS won't lead to reduction in greenhouse gas emissions. Why do you say that?
Well, not by the amount they want. They want 85% by 2050. Of course, when it's several decades away, miracles are possible. When you get closer, you realise that they're not. It won't lead to the reduction to that size because in a growth economy, any savings we make, for instance, with energy efficiency, we use elsewhere. We have made substantial energy efficiency gains in, say, air travel. It's now about 70% more efficient than it was 50 years ago. But of course, what's happened is that the amount of air travel has increased enormously. So the carbon dioxide emissions from air travel have also increased. There are huge inequalities in energy consumption worldwide. Electricity consumption per capita between different countries varies by a factor of 1,000. So there's a huge unmet demand for increasing energy, for increasing carbon emissions. What we have with a lot of our consumption is, in fact, corporate needs dressed up as human needs.